is this gold dust still over the floor? Oh, it's a play trick of the light, but I mean, it's probably there. Probably saw something. It was engaging something. Thank you, Jesus. So, okay, so this is where I want to lay a foundation. pardon me. I'll lay a foundation for something, and then we'll want us to engage with something together. Okay.
Okay.
So. Where to start? I mean, I'm really quite whacked. So, I'm like, I don't want to go from a higher place to a lesser place to engage with my intellect. I want to stay in the higher place, and I'd like you all to stay with me because we see we entered into something. We stepped through the veil onto the sea of glass like crystal. Before the Father, and we bowed down as sons to engage the Father. So what I ask of you right now is to not think. I ask you to stay in that place, in the Spirit, with me. The Father is just here. And we're going to engage with him, and we're going to lay a foundation for something. Are you aware that you are an eternal spirit that has a body, that has a soul that lives in a body? You're aware of that basic foundational truth, yes? Okay? Because it says before the beginning of the time, before the beginning of time, before creation, he knew you, and he called you according to his purposes. You were there. You are an eternal spirit. It says in Ecclesiastes, he put eternity in your heart. Okay? Why would he put eternity in your heart in a temporal body? You are an eternal spirit. You have an eternal soul. Okay? Your soul is your mind, will, emotions. It's your intellect. The Hebraic people did not separate themselves from emotions. They felt deeply. When they grieved the loss of someone, they would do it for weeks. When they had a wedding, it would go on for days because it was such an exciting thing. Every festival they have is not a single night. Wake up in the morning and open some presents. It's days. They felt deeply. They did not divorce themselves of their emotions. You have an eternal soul. That means that your personality that is developing now will carry on then as well as now. Now, if you are made in his image and you're a triune being and you have an eternal spirit and an eternal soul, there's a third part, which is your eternal flesh, your eternal body. Now, we know that people are born in a body, and experience tells us that the body will die eventually. But do you know that scientists studying the complexity of the human body say this very interesting thing? I can't figure out why bodies age and why bodies die. Isn't that fascinating? They're like, it shouldn't happen. I say you have an eternal body. Now, it also says that when we see him, will we be like him? And there was a moment in this body, in this planet, where Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration. And I believe he received his eternal body when he was transfigured. And I believe that we're all meant to be like Jesus. And we're all meant to receive a transfigured body. I don't know yet through experience more than that. More than what I believe by faith. But I believe fully that we're meant to be like him. I believe we're meant to receive our transfigured bodies. I don't think we have to die. And there are stories of certain saints who may still be with us 2,000 years later. Real stories, if you study the saints. Okay? And there are saints who did die in the body, but whose bodies never corrupted. Is it Teresa of Avila? They put her heart, which still was beating after her death. I believe it was Teresa of Avila, if I've got the right saint. And they put it in a glass container, and it was still beating. This is a great foundation. This is going completely somewhere else. This is why I'm trying to get, this is why I'm laying this foundation. Because the issue is that the way that the brain works is that you learn heuristically. Okay? So whilst you sit in class and are taught something, or in this class today and are taught something, you will learn it, you will take it into your intellect. And your brain will say, that does or does not fit my current paradigm, my current way of thinking. And if it does fit your current paradigm, you will retain it. And if it does not fit your current paradigm, you will shred it and forget it. Let us be doers as well as receivers. Let us not hear and turn away. Let us not be the man who looks in the mirror and turns away and forgets the image. Let us be receivers of the word and doers of the word, okay? Yes, there is a trading platform tonight. There is a trading bucket if you want to trade. Do you want me to move this in the center a bit more? So you don't have to come all the way up, although you're welcome to come all the way up. Okay, so this is, if you're trading, okay, do you understand what trading is? Trading is, do you know that, you know why they call it currency? Because money is attached to gold, and gold is one of the metals that has a frequency on earth as well as in heaven. Gold, silver, platinum, I think copper as well, there is a resonant frequency on it in heaven as well as on earth, okay? Maybe you don't believe that, you're going to shred that, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But it has a currency, it has a current, it has a frequency, it has an electrical frequency. It's connected. And when you trade into something that you want to believe, even if it goes against your paradigm, when you trade in, you actually connect with it. And then you are less likely to shred it and forget it. You're like saying, yes, Father, I believe in that. I want in. Boom. That's what a trade is, okay? There's good trades and bad trades, but this is a good trade, okay? Okay, let's come back. Heuristic learning. We do not want to shred things, okay? I'm going to say something to you, outrageous. You all speak with an accent, and I don't. Right? And the same goes for all of you, right? You could all say that, yes? Okay? You have grown up, some of us faster than others, you have grown up within a certain church paradigm. I'm going to hold you for a minute. Within a certain paradigm. And I want us today, if you connect with what we're doing, I'd like you to break that paradigm. I want you to break that box tonight. And I don't want you to build a bigger box. I want you to break that box tonight. Okay, this is your paradigm. Ready? You are living in the past and the present. You're not living out of the future. You are tomorrow people. We are throwing a conference in April. Please come. We did it last year, last August, and the August before, and the August before. We're doing it in April this year. Please come. There are flyers, okay? It does cost to come because we have to cover costs of everything, but please come, okay? You are tomorrow people. He put eternity in your heart. You are meant to live out of the future now. Abraham believed unto the Lord, and it was credited to him. He believed by faith in something that the Lord told him that he never saw with his eyes during his living in this body on earth. But he believed it, and the Lord credited it to him. The Lord was, this guy is great. Moses did the same. What did Abraham and Moses have in common? Jesus did the same. David did the same. What did they have in common? What were they known as? Oh, yeah, yeah. Friends of God. That was Hebrew. That was speaking in tongues. They were known as friends of God. They were known as he who saw him face to face and walked with him and had influence with him. Oh, Moses, come away from those people. I'm going to kill them. God, be it ever, you're not that kind of guy. This is the NIV, the Nagy International Version. God, you're not that kind of guy. You wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. Abraham, should I share my plans with Abraham? Okay. Abraham, come out of Sodom. I'm going to destroy it. They've just gone too far. God, if there are 40 righteous in that place, would you destroy it? No. If there were 30, no. 10. He could have, you know what? He stopped too soon. He counted on his hands. My wife, my daughter, my son-in-law, 10. Is it 10? 5? It's 10, right? He stopped too soon. He could have said, God, because of me and me alone, would you not do it? And God would have said yes. He had such influence with him. Wouldn't you like that kind of influence? Okay. All those guys who lived out of the future, who believed with faith, all those guys were friends. They were in his presence. They had an intimate relationship with him. Whoa. So what's the difference between them and us? Where do you live? What time do you live in? This is what I hear all the time. This upsets me. It upsets me when I hear it coming out of my own mouth. It upsets me when I hear it coming out of my mouth of friends. It upsets me when I hear somebody who desperately needs a miracle. It makes me want to cry when somebody desperately needs a miracle. And they keep saying, I'm praying. And I'm praying, and God hasn't done it yet. It's very upsetting. Moses didn't say that. Abraham didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. David didn't say that. David knew before he was king in the castle, he knew he was king. Before Jesus died on the cross and the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, David knew that God's Holy Spirit was available to him. David lived out of a different time. He lived in post-Jesus time, hundreds of years before. Moses lived out of post-Jesus time, hundreds of years before. I have this theory that when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses went up the mountain, and met him there. As did Elijah go up a mountain to meet with the Father and speak face to face. In our minds, we have heuristically learned and adopted as eternal truth that time is a constant and linear thing. And we believe, wrongly, that one day our miracle will happen. One day our prayer will be answered. One day when we die, we will then step into heaven and see him face to face. Did we not step into heaven and see him face to face? But 24 minutes ago. What are we waiting for? I want to encourage you that every time you say, I am going to do X, I would like to encourage all of us to change our language. Because we're living out of the past. Or we're living out of the present, and our faith is in the future. Our faith is not in Jesus. Our faith is not in God, who was and is to come. We think of that, oh, he was, and he is to come. But it's not that. It's that he was and is to come. It's, he was to go Judah. My mouth cannot yet say he was, is, and is to come in once. But that's what he is. He was and is and is to come. And we're made in his image. We're a was and is to come. But we're listening to ourselves. And our heuristic learning has taught us that there is a separation. But weren't we singing earlier that there is no separation? Are you seated with Christ in heavenly places? Okay, you're also here. That's interesting. I'm in two places at once. Am I in more places? Am I in more times? In my Father's house are many mansions, and he makes a room for us. In my Father's house are many layers, are many dimensions, are many multiple dimensions of a multi-universe. Whoa, it's not a universe. It's a multiverse. It's a dimensional shift. Have you seen Time Bandits? Hey, I'm somewhere else. I love that movie. But our heuristic learning has taught us a different language. And when we're taught how to pray, we're taught by others in the same paradigm, except for a few. There's a few who are really getting it. And those few try to write books, and they attempt to speak to us in a language that we understand. And as a result, we miss the point. And we think that there's a to-do list. If I just do this and pray this and write this down and say this, I have to say it 5 times. Okay, I've only said it 4 times. That's why my prayer hasn't happened. I will say it 5 times now. Oh, my prayer still has not happened. Why is that? Oh God, please will you. What did Jesus say? Go out, heal sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, give the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. That English translation of a Hebraic thing that was also translated into Aramaic and Greek, and then translated into English. Greek. So the Hebraic emotional embrace of ism was and is to come, of emotion, body, limb, body, of body, soul, and spirit, of emotions and intellect, was translated into the most logical language ever created, very cerebral, very intellectual, and then translated into English, which is written in reverse of Hebrew, completely the opposite of Hebrew, with no emotion in it. And we think that we know what we're talking about. And we believe the people who teach us because they seem to know what they're talking about. So when they teach us how to pray, this is how you pray. You say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." Oh, that must be how to pray. Okay, let's pray that. Nothing's happened. Whew. That's not what he said. What he said was, this is how to pray. God, I want your will. I want to be one with you. No, that's not how to pray either. This is how to pray. God, I am one with you. Your will is my will. I am your divine will incarnate. I am your supernatural provision. I am healing. I am your supernatural divine power coursing through every fiber of my being. The enemy cannot touch me. I am your son. I am you incarnate in the here and now and forever into eternity. Amen. There's a huge shift of language there. When we say, "God, I want," we think we're being clever. But what we're really saying is, "I don't have." And there's a question of, when will I get? Please, sir, may I have some more? Please, may I have some more of your awful gruel, Father? There's a whole wedding buffet. What are you doing? Please, sir. And the father came, and the rich old man, he gave this guy 10 talents and said, go and make more. I'm going away. When I come back, I want to see more. And this guy, you know, you're good, but you're not as good as him. Here's 5. I'm very generous. Here's 5. You faithful servant, look, you know, here's 1. Go make more. And then he comes back and he goes, "What'd you do with the 10? Oh, I made 10. I invested them wisely. I made 10 more for you. That's awesome. You may rule over 10 cities. Wow, what a magnification. Exponential change. What did you do, 5 guy? I made 5 more. Wow. You may rule over 5 cities. What did you do, 1 guy? Well, I think you're a jerk, and everybody thinks you're a jerk, and I was scared of you, and I was scared of myself, and I didn't trust myself, so I buried it. I didn't believe you. I didn't know I was going to get cities. If I knew I was get cities, I might have done something with it, but anyway, here, you can have it back. Oh, my goodness. Take it. Give it to the guy with 10. Let's be smart. Let's change our language. It's not God's fault. It's ours. Let's take responsibility for this. We learned wrong, and we believed wrong. Now we need to change. So who wants to change? You want to change? Want to change? Okay. We're going to engage, okay? First, we're going to go into heaven for a moment. We're going to go into the courts together. We're going to take responsibility. Okay. You ever been to court? Have you all done court before? Have you done court with the Lord? No? Okay. It's very easy. We'll guide you through it. It's very biblical. Comes from many places. The priests of old used to go before the Lord once a year and make a sacrifice. And he didn't say Israel sinned. He said, I sinned. And he asked for judgment on him. And then God cleansed all of Israel because of his one sacrifice. Okay? But it's also in Zechariah. He goes into the courts. He thinks he's so clean. He steps in the courts. He's filthy. And there's the accuser. And he says, he's wearing filthy clothes. And God doesn't say, you're right, Satan. Because Joshua the high priest showed up. And we are sons. And all you have to do is show up and you win. That's it. You just got to go. So second you show up and you take responsibility and saying, like, what did Adam say in the garden? The girl you gave me, she ate it. So it's God's fault, not his fault. Man, this would be so different if Adam had said, God, I ate the fruit. I did it. God would have went, oh, wow, well done, taking responsibility. You were scared there, I could see, but you took responsibility, so you're forgiven. Go back to enjoying the garden. Could you imagine? This would be a very different meeting. We go in, we take responsibility, we ask him to judge us through the blood of Jesus, under the covering of his word, he'll forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We'll ask him to judge the sin we've committed, and he'll take it from us. And we call into court those other things, and he'll judge them and remove them from us. So we're going to do a quick court, and then we're going to have some new language, okay? The language is going to be very different. I want each of you to engage tonight. You're going to engage one thing that you've been praying for years that has not manifested yet. Okay? And once you've learned this, you have homework, you need to go engage the Father for the other stuff. Okay? So, you don't have to stand up if you don't want to. I like to take a step forward into heaven because sometimes when you do something in the body, it's a platform for faith that allows your soul and spirit to enter in a bit more fully. That's why I do it in the physical. Okay? So if you want to stand up and be able to take a step forward, fine. If you don't want to stand up, that's fine. I would encourage you, when I say take a step forward, just kind of move your head forward as if you had taken a step, okay? Either way, don't care, as long as you do something in the natural, okay? So we're going to do court first, okay? Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for our time together. We bless your name. We thank you, Jesus. Father God, right now we take a step forward into heaven. We come before your throne of judgment. And we want to confess. We want to take responsibility right now and confess as sin that we did not trust you and your word. We made gods of ourselves by believing our own thing. We believed nonsense. We believed that we are stuck here instead of living out of the future. We spoke lies over ourselves, and we stood like little Oliver Twist paupers begging for a bowl of gruel when there's a rich banquet for us. We've committed all these sins, Lord God, and we ask you to judge us. Under the covering of your word and through the blood of Jesus, we ask you to judge us. And we ask you, go ahead, say, Father God, what is your verdict? Father God, what is your verdict? And then listen for a moment. And what do you get a sense he's saying? You might sense it. You might hear it. I'm hoping all of you get a sense of not guilty or innocent or absolved. Okay? When you do get your sense, please just open your eyes, look up at me for a moment, so I know you've all engaged. Okay. You got it. A few more waiting for you to feel cleansed. Yep. Did you get it? Got it? Nodding. I got a couple more over here. Yep. Okay, good. Right. Next stage. Thank you, Father. It says that when he forgives, he cleanses from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. Insert sin. Insert ability to sin. Insert iniquity. Insert any demonic attack against you. All unrighteousness, not some. So, Father God, we thank you. You are so generous. We didn't deserve this, and you forgave us. We thank you that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father God, go ahead, hold the sin out in front of you in your hand. Father God, we bring this horrible little offering to you, this sin. We ask you to judge it and remove it from us as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. Whoa. Watch him burn it up or crisp it up or watch it disappear, whatever. Okay? Okay. Is it gone? It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, right? It's gone. He took it away. He remembers it no more. So you don't have to remember it anymore. Okay? Right. Thank you, Father. Father, I'm going to add this other bit because I've learned this recently. Father God, wherever an altar has been set up, the enemy set an altar up with my name written in it, I ask that altar to be smashed. Thank you, Father God. Father God, where a gateway to the enemy has been opened as a result of my transgression, I ask Jesus to come sit in that gateway, that the enemy no longer has access to me in this arena. Father God, I ask the angels to bring to court now, bound and gagged, every demonic creature, every high thing in a high place that has had access to me because of this sin, I ask them to be brought into the same court for their own judgment, Lord God, and I ask that you would judge them now. If you get your jollies from watching demons get zapped out of existence, then by all means, turn to your left or right and have a look. If you don't have to watch that sort of thing, that's fine. But believe by faith that it's been done. Now it says that when you catch a thief, that God makes him pay sevenfold what he lost, what he took from you. Father God, we thank you. We ask for the sevenfold return of what has been lost, stolen, and devoured from my family line. All those treasures you stored up in darkness that have been hidden from me, Father, I ask for the return of those to me and to my family. Oh, feel it come flooding in. Father God, where there has been monetary gain, Lord God, I take that now and I put it back on the sea of glass like crystal and I put it before your feet and I trade it back into you for more intimacy, for more friendship, for more knowledge of who you are and who you're meant to be in my life. I'd rather be friends and have the Father face to face. Yes, Jesus, thank you. Okay, now we're here before the Father. I want you to take one of your unanswered prayers, okay? And we're going to change our language, okay? I'm going to lead you through a prayer now, okay? Take that thing, I want you to put it in. I like to use a snow globe. I don't know why. I like a snow globe. I take my unanswered prayer and I put it in a snow globe. Hey, you see the movie Inside Out? You seen that movie? Well, there's like a memory in a globe. That's such a great image. It's a memory. There it is, Father. There is. This is my unanswered prayer. This is the thing, Father, that I've waited for years. I've prayed. Man, I prayed so hard. I've sweat and blood. I prayed so hard. Okay, so here's the language change, okay? Father God, I'll do slowly, and I ask you, actually, I think you should repeat it, okay? Okay, so, Father God, this prayer in the past was unanswered. In the past, it's very important, in the past, this prayer was unanswered. But Father God, right now, by faith, I have this. I have my answer. I have my miracle. It has always been there. I change my perception. I am a miracle bearer. I am health. I am provision. I am deliverance. Insert your word, whatever your word is. I am that. Ready? I am. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I am. That's interesting. Who's he? I am. Are you made in his image? You are. I am. I am. I am divine supernatural health. I am divine supernatural provision. I am a miracle worker. Whatever I set my hand to prospers. I am faith. I am divine faith. I have the faith of Christ. Are you getting this? I am. I love you. Take your answered prayer. Take your snow globe, okay? I want you to put it into your heart. Take it. Put it in your heart. Whoa. Make it a part of your being. This is who I am. This prayer is answered. It's answered. I want you to engage one more with me, okay? I want you to use your sanctified imagination. I have run over longer than I, but I think this was important, okay? Here's what I want you to do. See, your emotions are very powerful. And if you engage your emotions over your miracle, you are going to raise the frequency of your body, soul, and spirit and elevate them to a divine frequency of heaven. So here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to be happy. I'd like you to smile. I want you to imagine something for a moment. I want you to ask yourself a question. Okay, it goes like this. Now that my miracle has already happened, my life has changed. In what way? I want you to engage your imagination for a minute. Okay? I'll give you an example. Now that my miracle of financial provision has already happened, I have a brand new boiler in my loft, installed, and not the cheap one either. The one that's going to last for 50 years. I already have that. I can see it. My house is so warm. My shower is so awesome. I'm so happy to have a nice hot shower. It's so great. This is particularly funny because our boiler's been broken for 9 days now. Okay? Now that my financial provision has already happened, I've just bought tickets for my summer holiday. And I'm going away somewhere fantastic with my family for a whole week. 10 days. Now that my financial provision has already happened, I feel relaxed. All the stress has melted away. Wow, it feels good. Now that my financial provision has already happened, I bought my wife the most exciting birthday present that she's just going to love. Are you getting it? Okay. I'm reinforcing my miracle with my sanctified imagination to create happy emotion, to release endorphins in my body, to raise the frequency of my body, which engages my emotions, my soul, which engages with what my spirit already knew the whole time and I ignored in my intellect. While we worship, before you stand up and sing anything, I would like you to sit with the Father for a few minutes, and I would like you to engage your now that you already have that miracle, that answered prayer, that whatever. I would like you to engage your emotions. Use your imagination. What do you already have? What has changed? Pull on the future. Be that future you. Amen.